As we're beginning today, I just want to take a minute and say, so we had our fall kickoff last week, and so Kingdom Kids and our tailgating party happened, and it would take a long time to thank everyone who helped getting ready for Kingdom Kids, everyone who helped handing out flyers or helped preparing food or brought food or helped the day of the tailgate. So I can't thank everyone individually, but I just want to say thank you for all the ways that you are helping out with Kingdom Kids and all of the ways that you did help out with the tailgating time. So it was a great morning for us. It was great to see a lot of new faces, and it was nice to meet some of your neighbors and some of your family members who were able to be here that morning. So I was really encouraged by how that went, and I hope that y'all were as well. So I just wanted to say thanks for that. And then this morning, or today, we're kind of kicking off both our fall series, and also today and this week we'll be kicking off small groups. And or at least most of the small groups will be kicking off this week. We're going on vacation, so ours won't be. But a lot of the groups are starting. So as we begin this kickoff, I just wanted to talk a little bit about this series in our small groups. So the series Transformed is it's done by Saddleback, which Tim already mentioned. He mentioned Rick Warren earlier today, and so it's kind of a small group series that's produced by Saddleback Church and by Rick Warren. And we're going to spend some time really digging into what it looks like for us to be transformed. And the key passage for this series is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this is a pretty familiar passage. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And when I, when I was spending time looking around at all of the different studies that are out there and kind of trying to figure out what would be best for our church and the direction for our church, there were a few reasons why this series stuck out to me. And one of those was that when I was in college, I was involved with a small group of guys, and it wasn't, like a church kind of small group, but it was a mentoring group. And so there was a professor who invited a couple of us to lunch one day, and then it became kind of this weekly lunch meeting. And in one of those first few weeks, what he said to us was that he was putting a group of guys together, for the sake of seeking transformation in our lives. And so one of those first things that he asked us to do was to memorize Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so we did that, and then he explained to us this idea that as we lived in community, what he was hoping was that we would help each other to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we would be there to encourage each other when we needed it, to help each other, to kind of speak hard truth, or to hold each other accountable at times, and that was a really a great experience for me to have. And so as I started looking at this material, I thought, this is kind of a great opportunity for us as a church to seek out a similar kind of transformation in our lives. And we can certainly seek out transformation on our own. In this passage, Paul doesn't tell people get involved in a growth group, get involved in a small group kind of ministry, get involved in a mentoring group. He instructs people in verse 1, he instructs people to live as a sacrifice. And then in verse 2, he follows that up by encouraging people to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. But one of the things I've seen over and over and over again that's held true is that we experience greater transformation as we connect with one another, and we experience greater connections as we're transformed together. And that's kind of a wordy, maybe a run-on kind of sentence. That's not very clear, but to unpack that a little bit. So as people, when we are connecting with one another, it gives us that opportunity to experience greater transformation. That just makes sense. We all have kind of blind spots that we don't see that we need other people to help point out to us. We all have needs that we can't meet that we need other people to meet. We all kind of go through seasons where we need to feel encouragement, go through seasons where we need to have some help. We all kind of go through these moments where we need other people. And so for us, this fall, as we are looking to experience transformation, we'll experience greater transformation. That will be a process that works better for us if we're connected with other Christians that are seeking out that same thing. And then, not the opposite, but it also works the other way around. That is, we're seeking to be transformed together in groups. It just makes sense that naturally it would increase that level of connectedness that we feel with the other people in our group. You know, lots of times for us when we come to church, we spend a long time in a greeting sort of moment where we're able to ask how people are doing and talk with people and connect with people really quickly. But lots of times that's more of a, hey, how are you? A quick handshake, no really discussion that happens. But when we really spend time connecting in relationships with each other, it helps us to have that opportunity to really experience transformation. So I say that for this. We're going to be talking about this in church on Sunday mornings, this idea of being transformed. But I would also strongly encourage you, if you haven't done so yet, to sign up for one of our growth groups. There are groups in the back. We would love to see all of our adults involved in groups. There are some that meet during the middle of the week. There are some that meet on the weekends to try to accommodate schedules. It's really going to be a time for us to spend time as a church connecting with one another and seeking out transformation from God together. So if you haven't signed up for that, I would really encourage you to do that. But that's a little plug as we begin for small groups. As we go into this message and begin our time looking at transformation, we're going to take a few moments to pray. And we're going to begin with a time for us to pray individually. And specifically, what I want to encourage you to do is to spend a few minutes asking God what areas he wants to see you transformed in. Asking God, what are some things that are in your life that you think need to be transformed over the course of this fall? And maybe even beyond this fall, but just some issues that you have that you're working on. And this is what I imagine, that there will be kind of two responses to this. That when we go to pray, some of you will pray for like 10 seconds. And you'll say, God, what are some areas that I need to work on? And then it will feel like crickets, and it will feel like eternity is kind of setting in and time is moving in slow motion. And if that happens, that's okay. Just kind of sit in silence. Because lots of times in prayer, we forget that it's not just supposed to be a one-way conversation. So really, ask God and then allow him to speak. And if it's the opposite, you know, and this is how it'll be when I go to pray, if I can immediately think of 100 different ways that I would love for my life to be transformed, then sometimes what we need to do is ask a question and not fill the silence and not fill the space and allow God to speak. So this morning, we're going to begin by just taking a few moments to pray and asking God where he would like to see transformation take place in our lives. And then I'll close our time together. God, we thank you for the ways that you transform our lives. We thank you for the way that you have brought us from a position of hopelessness and given us hope. We thank you that you've taken us and sought us out, even in the midst of us living sinful lives that are far from you, and that you've bought us back with a price, that you've provided a way for us to experience new life. And God, we pray that we would not tire of new life. We acknowledge that whether we've been a Christian for 10 days or for 10 years or for 50 years, that we never arrive, that there are always things about our life that need to be transformed. And so, God, we ask that you would show that to us today, this morning, over the course of the next few days and weeks as we begin to discuss different areas of life. And we pray that we would have a clear direction from you in the ways that you would call us to live. God, we love you and we thank you, and we pray that as we look to your word this morning, that you would illuminate our hearts and that you would speak to us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So in our series, we're going to specifically be looking at seven different areas of life. And you see them listed up there. We're going to be looking at our spiritual lives. We're going to be looking at physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational elements of life. This is kind of a sort of a broad sweeping examination of a lot of different areas of life. And what is often true, and it is certainly true of this, is that with any one of these areas, you could break it out and have a whole kind of series or a fall campaign just looking at one of those areas of life. But we're going to kind of move through them week by week pretty quickly. And this is my hope for us, that while we're going through this study, I hope there's lots of good things and lots of things that come to mind. But really that as you're looking at these different areas of life, that there will be something that hits you in a big way. That there will be some area, whether it comes out in a discussion in small groups or a discussion on Sunday morning, where you really see God leading you to change something about your life, where you see God kind of working in that process of transformation, and you follow him faithfully in that. So that's kind of a snapshot of what we'll be looking at. And there's one element, whenever you're looking at transformation, that I think is really important for us to acknowledge. And that's that it doesn't really happen by accident. You know, transformation isn't something that that just sort of you're kind of wandering and drifting through life and you happen upon all of these good changes. You know, there's only, as I was kind of thinking about this, there's only one person I could think of who experienced that in life. And I think that it's something we'll all be pretty familiar with. But it's in the character Forrest Gump that Tom Hanks, plays. And if you think about this movie, you have someone who has some significant kind of mental and physical limitations in life. And throughout the movie, what you see is that he just always is finding himself in the right place at the right time. And it seems like kind of chance or good fortune always leads him into these kind of crazy transformations where all of a sudden he has, you know, fame and notoriety and he's brave and he has success in his job and he has all of these kind of successes that take place in life. But it all kind of seems like it's just chance. Like he's happy-go-lucky and he's wandering and he ends up in all of these really incredible places. And we all know that this is made up, that this isn't reality. It's a, you know, there's kind of a lot of funny elements to the story as that's taking place. But the truth is that for a lot of us, we kind of think that life sort of plays out like this. You know, we think that it's all about just being in the right place at the right time. And so we never kind of move into living intentionally and setting goals intentionally that will allow us to experience transformation. And so this morning, I want to look at what it looks like for us to have goals, because the overwhelming majority of people who experience positive transformation are those who seek out a goal. It's those who seek to do that intentionally. It's not just an accident that happens to them. And as we look to that this morning, we're going to begin with asking a question. Why are goals an important part of transformation in our lives? Because it doesn't seem like, you know, when we look at Jesus and the life he lives, when we look at his teachings, it doesn't seem like a very goal-oriented kind of thing, like a very type A business type of environment that we see from Jesus. But I would say this, that one of the reasons why goals are important is that they are biblical. One of the clear messages that we see in Scripture, and definitely in the words of Paul, is this idea that it's good for us as believers to set and to pursue goals in our life. And one of the really clear places where we see this is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. And in this, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And if we would read the verses that are kind of immediately preceding this section of writing by Paul, what we would see is that when he says, "Not that I've already obtained all of this," the all of this that he's talking about is living perfectly as a Christian. The all of this that he's talking about is kind of reaching that point of maturity in your faith and real connected with connectedness with Christ. And so Paul says, I haven't achieved all of this yet, but goes on to say he hasn't arrived at his goal, but he continues to press on and to pursue that goal. And so if a person like Paul, who at this point in writing the letter, you know, he has been a Christian for a significant amount of time. He's been a religious person for all of his life. You know, was a leader among the Jews. If he's saying, I haven't arrived yet, I haven't made it there yet, that's a message that all of us can listen to. You know, he's a guy who probably is second only to Jesus in spreading the gospel and in the gospel teaching. And he's saying, I haven't arrived at the goal, but I'm actively pressing on to win the prize. You know, when he uses that language that he's kind of forgetting what's behind and he's straining forward, it's this act that it's very intentional what he's doing. And again, lots of times when we think of goal setting, you know, we think of self-help books or Tony Robbins, like self-help gurus, people like that. But it's not like that. Paul is saying it's important for us to be people who are seeking out that ultimate goal of living a life like Christ. And so for us this morning, that's one of the reasons why it's good for us to have goals. The idea of having a goal is something that is a very biblical kind of concept for us. And then the second is this, that goals focus our energy towards a specific accomplishment. Again, that might seem very, apparent. But the truth is that if we aren't working towards a specific accomplishment, lots of times we're not working towards any goal at all. You know, there's a book called The Tyranny of the Urgent by a guy named Charles Hummel, and it's kind of this sort of a time management book that he writes. And he talks about this idea that for many of us, we live under the rule of whatever feels most urgent at any point in life, at any given point of our day. And that's something that for all of us, regardless of what our job is, regardless of what our family standing is, that many of us can relate to. You know, whenever we're sitting somewhere, whether it's a meeting at work or whether it's at home, when we're having dinner with our family, and we just keep feeling our phone buzzing in our pocket, or we keep hearing our phone going off in the other room, it appears to us that there is something urgent that must be taking place that we need to respond to, and so we lose out on other moments. Whenever we're at work and we're kind of trying to get in the zone and focus on things, and we keep having emails that pop up all of the time, it appears, and we hear that ding, it's hard to focus because it appears like there's something urgent, or there's, you know, projects or bosses or phone calls or any number of other things. Every day, we're focused in on all of these things that just pop up and feel urgent at that time. And as a result, when we look back at the end of the day, you know, whether it's work or with family, you know, sometimes it feels like we just ran around like crazy and we didn't accomplish anything. And the truth is that in an environment like that, and in leading lives like that, goals are something that help us to get through that. They help us to understand what's really important. They help us to understand what we need to focus on, what we need to give our time and our energy and our talents to. There's another verse of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 where he says this in verse 26. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. And there are some translations when Paul uses that term running aimlessly that say running without a goal. Again, it's coming from Paul, and he's saying, I have a goal, and I'm working, and I'm pressing towards reaching that goal. When you think about a boxer, which I know almost nothing about boxing, when you think about a boxer, you know, you need to be strong, you need to be tough, you need to be agile, you need to have some of those things lined up, you need to be pretty aggressive, I guess, to get punched in the face and to be willing to deal that out as well. You need to have all of these things lined up. And Paul says, when he's talking about living as Christians and living with intentionality, that we shouldn't fight like a boxer who's beating the air. You know, and if you think about that, a boxer who's beating the air, who can have all of the best gifting, who can have the best work ethic, who can have all of the strategy, all of the natural ability and talent that comes with that, if they're just punching wildly and not at a target, they're not a good boxer. They're losing. You know, and the same is true for us, that whenever we just live under the urgent, whenever we don't live with intentionality in pursuing goals in life, We can have all of the best gifting and natural ability. We can be a smart person. We can do all of that. We're not doing well in life when we're just ruled over by things that seem urgent to us. And the third is this, and the final kind of reason why it's good for us to have goals is that good goals are attached to rewards. And I'll be honest, when I started writing this, I said goals are attached to rewards. And then the more I thought about that, I thought the truth of the matter is that not all goals are created equal. But one of the things we're told in Scripture is that when we pursue good, there's a reward, there's favor that's connected with that. One of the places we see that is in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 11, where it says, "Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it." And so it's this notion, it doesn't specifically talk about goals in there, but it says that when we're a people who are seeking out good, who are seeking to be people who live well, that we find favor with God. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 passage that we read, and in the Philippians chapter that we read, both of them talk about this idea of a prize that's at the end of that goal. When we're seeking to live faithfully to God, there's a promise, there's a reward, a blessing that comes along with that. And then on the other end, when we don't pursue things that are good, there's a repercussion for that as well, that when we seek out evil ends, we find them. That comes to us. And so it's important for us to seek out what it's like for us to live with good goals. And as we think about this in our lives and in kind of those seven areas of life that we'll cover in this series, I would encourage you to spend time looking over that list and praying and thinking, what are some good goals that I could set? You know, Paul talks about this idea of coming to maturity in his faith, obtaining Christ-likeness, and that is certainly a good and a necessary pursuit for all of us who claim Christ. You know, but there are other pursuits. You know, when it comes to our spiritual life, we can certainly be people who say, "God, what are some of the gifts that I have, and can you show me how to use those gifts?" When it comes to our physical lives, there are lots of ways that lots of people could come up with, patterns of living in a healthy way, whether that's sleep or diet or exercise or different areas of life like that. When it comes to all of the relational or mental or emotional pieces of life, there are areas of life where we can say to God, "God, what's a good goal that you have for me in this area of life and something that I should pursue?" And I'd encourage you to take time to do that. Because the reality is that there are some goals that God will bless, and there are some goals that aren't as good as other goals. And as we close today, we're going to look at three kind of good questions to ask ourselves as we're pursuing goals. And so the first is this, and this seems really, really obvious, but a question we should ask is, will this goal honor God? And that seems like such kind of a typical Sunday school kind of question or something that we should ask, seems very basic. But there are two reasons why it's important for us to ask God if a goal is honoring, or for us to think through a goal to see if it's something that's honoring to God. And the first is this, that for lots of us, we always assume that what we want for our life is what God wants for our life. You know, lots of us easily assume that what God wants for our life is that we are happier, that we lose 7 pounds that we just can't seem to get rid of, that we get a job at work where we can make more money, that we live a more comfortable life in all of these different ways. And so lots of times it's really easy to assume that the things we want for our life are the things that will honor God in our life. So it's good to ask ourselves that question when we're setting a goal. Is this something that's really honoring to God? Is this something that I'm doing to show honor to him and to bring honor to him? And as we look to living our lives, the second reason why it's good for us to ask this question is that as Christians, every single thing that we do with our life is supposed to be honoring to God. To look to Paul again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, he says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." There isn't anything that we endeavor in, any goal that we set, any activity that we engage in that shouldn't be honoring to God. And so we need to ask ourselves that question over and over again. Is this something that's honoring to God? The second question is this. Is this an action? Is this a goal? Is this a pursuit that is motivated by love? And one thing that we all know is that there are lots and lots of different motivations in life. And lots of them are really good. You know, we're motivated by faithfulness. We're motivated by a sense of responsibility. We're motivated by an intrinsic work ethic. Those things are all good. You know, there are bad motivations. Sometimes we're motivated by greed. Sometimes we're motivated by wanting to put ourselves in the best light possible, by all of those sorts of things. There are all kinds of motivations that we have in life. But it's important for us, as we seek to live a life that honors God and seek transformation that honors God, to ask Him if our goals are motivated by love. As Paul's closing the letter in 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of 1 Corinthians this morning. As Paul's closing that letter and kind of his final remarks, he's encouraging the people to live faithfully. And in that, at one point, he says in verse 14, "Do everything in love." You know, and this lines up with what Jesus tells us in the two greatest commandments, that we're supposed to love Him with everything that we have, and that we're supposed to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. And Paul kind of, he follows up, he reinforces that and says that everything that we do should be motivated by love. That should be the way that we pursue our goals. And then the final question is this: will the goals that we set require dependence on God? You know, there are lots of little easy things that we can set as goals, and those are good. And we should do kind of set goals that are attainable and that we can move through. But as believers, as we're seeking to live faithfully, as we're seeking to be transformed, that's not something that we do in our own power. You know, there's a passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus is getting ready to leave. So he's already, you know, he's been crucified, he's risen from the dead, and he's getting ready to leave his followers. And he tells them that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, they'll experience power that comes through that Holy Spirit. There are a lot of us that live without that sense of power. You know, there are a lot of us that never really step out in reliance and in dependence upon that power. We try to play everything safe, like we talked about last week. We try to not make any mistakes. And the truth is that when we're setting a goal for our lives that's honoring to God, it's something that we need to depend on Him to bring about, to provide that transformation, to help us in that process. And if it doesn't involve that, then we're probably setting goals that are too small for ourselves. You know, because God requires His Holy Spirit, or He provides His Holy Spirit as a way for us to live an empowered life in Him. You know, there was this moment, as I think about the way the Holy Spirit works, there was this moment last week where, I'm not sure why this happened, but I was leaving and I was on my way to a meeting. And when I was leaving the office and walking to my car, I quickly just prayed. I saw someone on the street and I quickly prayed, "God, will you give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone today?" And it wasn't that person. I was on my way to a meeting, but I just had that thought popped into my mind. So I prayed it and then I didn't think about it for the rest of the day. And that evening, I ended up having a conversation with someone. And in the midst of that conversation, they started asking me about this passage they had read in the Old Testament that talks about God pursuing and buying back His people, how that will happen. And so I went on. I said, "Oh, well, that's kind of, you know, that's alluding to Jesus." And we started talking about Jesus. We started talking about the gospel. We're working through this. And it wasn't until after that meeting when I was driving home when I realized that God had given me the opportunity that I asked for earlier in the day. You know, we're people that whenever we set goals, whenever we think about life, whenever we're trying to pursue living a life of faithfulness, that we need every step of the way to depend on God's Spirit to provide those opportunities for us. So I would encourage you to spend time this morning in reflection, to spend time this morning listening to God, asking Him to really show you goals that are good for your life, asking Him to show you goals that will honor Him, that are motivated by love, and that you need Him to fulfill. And over the course of the fall here, as we're looking at these things, I would ask you to keep asking God that. Keep seeking Him out and asking Him to speak into your life and asking Him to give you the ability to do those things.